Hey everyone, Chris here. Thanks so much for downloading. I'm really excited. I have still been just kind of blown away, really, to tell you the truth, just by my Facebook and Twitter and just all the different questions that are coming through. You know, my prayer is, you've got to understand that although I'm on this side of the microphone, I'm imagining that I'm sitting there with each and every one of you and really, really having a cup of coffee with you and kind of helping to answer these questions. And it's the best way and probably the most effective way. I'm so glad I'm born in the 21st century that I can have coffee with the most amount of you in one week that would be otherwise impossible, and to be able to kind of just help share, you know, from my experience. So Bianca, we've got three or four questions that we're going to nail today and kind of finish up on this series of doing a whole lot of questions. So why don't we just jump right in?
Well, in the beginning of the series that we've been just getting to listen to you and have you pour into us, there's been a lot of questions that are geared for women in leadership, but to make sure that we represent and adequately support and show love to the men who are downloading the podcast and also follow you on Facebook and Twitter. These are some questions that came in all through Twitter, but Sabine Bagura, I believe I'm pronouncing her name correctly, I hope so, wants to know, what are the top five strengths needed to be a strong and confident person in leadership?
Okay, top five. I love that. And I'll answer this today because it may change tomorrow. But I think without a doubt, there has to be a strong conviction. I think first and foremost, a conviction that God has called you to be in the place that you are. Then with conviction, I think there needs to come great confidence in Christ. And, you know, the Bible says in the book of Hebrews, don't throw away your confidence, for it has a great reward. And I think often as women, the one thing that we can lose quicker than anything else is our confidence. So on the tail of conviction, confidence, I think commitment is another very, very important thing that we need to be committed to see it through from beginning to end. And without commitment, there is no way that you're going to be able to be the kind of leader that you're called to be, because, you know, leaders are called to overcome obstacles and hurdles and find a way where there is no way. Well, without diligent commitment, there is no way you're going to do that, because the best way forward is often not the most apparent. And so you've got to find a way, and you've got to be committed to the end goal and committed to whatever obstacle, whatever hurdle, whatever challenge comes before you, that you are going to overcome that and lead the team where the team needs to go. Consistency, I think, is a great one, because I think without consistency, there is no way that you really will be taken seriously. And I think any woman that's too emotion-driven and too erratic isn't going to be taken seriously. Girls, you've got to understand that although we have our periods every month, we don't need to bring the effects of that into the boardroom or into the leadership table. You need to be able to rule your spirit, manage your emotion, and not allow kind of like my, oh no, it's that time of the month. Well, that's great, but that doesn't need to hinder everyone around you. And I think very early on, I had to learn, well, you just got to learn to manage that and learn to cope with that and ask God for the strength to do that. I think a lot of times a woman isn't taken seriously in a leadership role because there's not that consistency. One day she's up, one day she's down. She allows her emotions to rule her. And although we don't, you know, we bring emotions into a room, which I think is a great gift of what a woman can bring to the leadership table, but we can't allow those emotions to rule us, and we need to make decisions based on logic and based on reason, and we need to learn to manage our emotions. So very definitely, I think we need to have a conviction that God has called us. We need to have confidence that, you know, that is in Christ, that so that we can do what God has called us to do. We need to have a commitment to stay the course. We need to have a consistency, and I think we need to absolutely have courage. Courage to rise up and do what God has called us to do, to take risks without courage. And really, I think in a sense, my whole book, Undaunted, is about that, stepping up with strength, with God-given courage to fulfill what God has called you to do. You will never be a leader worth your salt if you don't have courage. And we have an adversity, a very real enemy, that wants to take us out of the race, and it takes courage to overcome obstacles, to overcome hurdles, to overcome the naysayers, to overcome negativity, fear and doubt and murmuring and grumbling and complaining. So I think without a doubt, we've got to remember there's got to be that conviction. There's got to be that commitment. There has to be a consistency. There has got to be a strength of courage. And my fourth was?
Courage.
Before courage. Obviously, I'm seeing if she even remembers, because I have got no notes in front of me and I'm just thinking about that. She just smiled that I actually got five C's, but she can't remember what the five C's are. This is a test now. Back to Bianca. Let's tell everyone what you remember, Bianca.
No, but I think the insight is incredibly relevant to any gender and any demographic, any age group, because those things are what help us decipher and siphon through within ministry those things that may stumble or trip us up. Karen Williamson on Twitter asked, how do you respond in a godly way when you know wrong things are being spoken about you and or your ministry by those within the church? Can you speak into that?
Yeah. And did you notice that she didn't regurgitate the five because she wasn't listening? So I'm just telling you that.
Well, you
and,
did
that. Yeah, it's true. And I would add a sixth, which is compassion, because since we're on a C, I would add compassion to that, which would be really, really important. I think it's so important. You know, if you've ever heard my message on the Good Samaritan, you'll know the Bible says that of the Samaritan that he had compassion, and so he went to him. And compassion is never compassion until you're willing to cross the street and go to people. And I think that women bring great compassion into our leadership because we're willing to cross the street and engage with the people and the teams that we work with. We actually don't want to do it alone. We want to do it as part of a team. And I think we bring that compassion. Compassion is not weakness at all. It's a great strength. And I think to bring that into the table, you know, in a leadership context is very, very powerful. You know, I guess if someone's talking badly about you, I'm a great believer that God vindicates, and that more often than not, if there is a spirit of gossip and slander and deception that's going on, you've got to identify it for what it is. And the nature of deception is that it's deceived. And normally if you confront it head on, it'll end up biting you. And so I have found a lot of times it's better to just be true, to be integrous, to stick to who you are, to go to God in prayer and allow God to vindicate you. I think the more you try to vindicate yourself, the digger the hole you dig. I have found any time that I've tried to, kind of stick up for myself when something is wrong, it's turned around to just negatively and adversely impact me. But when I have died and allowed God to do what only God can do, then God is able to vindicate you. And the Bible talks about God being our vindicator, and I think we need to allow him to do that. It's very hard, especially if you're kind of in a corporate world or maybe in a very political church world where everything in you wants to defend and stick up for your rights, and you know there is a massive injustice. Most of us don't like injustice, particularly when it's pointed towards us. But I think the greatest thing you can learn is to allow God to vindicate and, to just kind of sometimes step back from something. And, you know, I guess in the day of media age and if there is something really, really adverse going on, then all you can do is put up the truth and your version of the truth, and then again, allow that to speak for itself and allow your life to speak for itself.
That answered the second part of that question was, how do I make these hard decisions while still demonstrating God? So I think unknowingly you answered that absolutely in a way that is applicable and practical for everyone. I think we have time for one more question, which I think is maybe I'm looking at Twitter, and her name is Julie Johnson. And just from her Twitter avatar, I'm assuming that she's probably in college, and these are great questions to address whether you're in high school or college or post college. And her question is, if you know you're called to full-time ministry but are studying for something else right now, how do you prepare? Now, I love that because it resonates with me. I was in graduate school when I realized, what am I doing here? I just love Jesus and I love his people. And I wish I could have someone speak into that and kind of wrestling, well, what do I do now? Can you, from your experience in youth ministry and college ministry and traveling and speaking, what that maybe looked like for you in your journey?
I think if you're in the midst of a season, unless God very specifically calls you out of the season, you need to be faithful to that and finish your course. I'm always a big one on that, because I think that you never underestimate the power of what you're studying now that will help you in the future. And God never wastes nothing. God never wastes anything. I think a lot of the preparation begins in your own heart, and that you begin to consecrate yourself as it is. If you feel called to ministry, I'm praying that you're planted in a local church and you're just beginning to serve in whatever capacity you can there. And so God knows the season that you're in. He begins to stir your heart. Don't despise the day of small beginnings, the Bible says, and don't despise where you're at right now, but be faithful to that and begin to build character, because what you'll find, even more than gift and talent, the thing that you will need to keep you for the long haul in ministry is actually character. You can be building that right where you are by being faithful where you are, being faithful to do all that you're called to do right where you are, to be a great witness where you are. And I have found that as I'm faithful in the now moment, God is the one that opens doors. And I think sometimes you've got to not be thinking, one day when I get into ministry, what you start doing is thinking of yourself in ministry right now. So every moment, every opportunity, everything that you're doing is a step in that direction. The more you can make it real in your normal, everyday, seemingly insignificant life, the more impactful it will be when you're released into full-time ministry, I found.
I love it. And if I could speak into that, Chris, I think that it's a different voice. What you're saying is different than sometimes what we hear in church, at least in the American church. When I knew that I wanted to kind of branch out and get more involved with ministry, I was pursuing my PhD, I was in the middle of graduate school, and everyone had said, well, if that's what you want, then just quit. But unbeknownst to me, my master's might as well be in underwater basket weaving. Like, it's in aesthetics with an emphasis, or philosophy with an emphasis in aesthetics. Like, where is this really going to matter? And yet, I look back at that, it's more of a discipline that refined me for what I'm doing right now. And the irony in all of this is aesthetics is the philosophy of what is beautiful. And in this dark, dreary world that we work with, in human trafficking, it's constantly negative and so harboring of sin and evilness and fear, and yet finding beauty in redemption, those stories, has prepared me to do what I'm doing now. In addition to the fact is that education opens up doors for you in Christendom and outside of Christendom that provides a sense of legitimacy. So Julie, wherever you're at, stay the course and stay faithful to that. And Christine also went to college and has an undergraduate in English studies, right? English and economic history. Well, if that isn't boring, I don't know what is. Chris, in an earlier podcast, had said that she's a homebody, you know, that she's more of an introvert. And I actually believe it. She's kind of nerdy, but she's like a cute nerd, so it's really hard to tell. But and so that education provides access and wherewithal that perhaps only comes through study and education. So it's exciting to see just how that manifests itself in ministry and also in work. Chris, one more question before we close out. I know you're going to be coming to us with interviews of friends that you're on the road with in Color and Color Kiev and Color London. So we're excited about that. But some more questions that are popping up, I just want to address one more, is how do you handle hard situations within ministry? How do you have those hard conversations while maintaining friendships within ministry?
Yeah. It's got a lot more to do with heart attitude. And I think before I go into any hard conversation, I've got to make sure that my heart's right and that I'm not reacting to something in the flesh, but that really my heart is for the good of the person and the good of the ministry and what we're called to do. But the fact is that God has called us to a goal, and we need to be moving in that direction. If someone is either hindering that, I guess I will always rise up to protect the vision and the purpose and the ministry and the mission that God has called us to. And I think the truth is that it's worse not to confront in a healthy way. And I don't think that we're necessarily good at confronting. But if we would be, then I think that healthy confrontation actually ensures the health of an organization. And so I think you would testify to the fact that no one in our world is ever left wondering what I'm thinking. Now, that's not from a bad way, but I'm not going to let anything fester. I'm not going to let anything slide. I'm going to ask the question all the time. I'm going to question why something was done in a certain way all the time. But in that way, we all know we're moving in one direction, and I can very quickly see if someone's heart's gone. Normally, a person's heart is gone way before their body's gone. And so as soon as I start to see a heart begin to slide, then I'm always thinking of the good of the ministry and the future of the ministry, as well as where the Lord might be leading that person. But I think the longer you leave things to fester, the worse it's going to get, the more cancerous it's going to get, the more destructive it's going to get. And so as long as I know that my heart's pure and it's for the sake of the bigger picture, then I will do whatever it needs to do, whatever it needs to be done in order to protect what it is that God has entrusted to me. Nick and I are stewards of something that the Lord has given us, and so to the best of our ability, we're not going to be scared to lead. And I think you've got to understand, if God's put you in that place, then you have a responsibility to lead. I think when people abdicate that responsibility because they fear man and they're more of a people pleaser than a God pleaser, then it's very destructive to an organization. So I think, as would be the case, you know, in Equipment and Power and in A21, our desire is always to be a God pleaser above a man pleaser. And that means at times man may be displeased because you're pleasing God. So you've got to do whatever needs to be done in order to enable that to happen. So on that note, and I bet you're all feeling edified, You know, I want to encourage you to be a healthy leader. And I think if you're healthy and whole, then you encourage and you welcome feedback and you want to know. And most people that I know are really grateful to me, really. It's like, oh my gosh, I didn't even notice that was happening, but I see that that's happening and now I want to correct that. Because, you know, most people have got a great heart and don't want to end up off track. And so I have a responsibility before God to, you know, when people join our team, I'm committed to them. I'm not just committed to a function in a organization. I'm committed to the person. Becoming who God has called them to be and fulfilling all that God's called them to fulfill. So I carry the weight of that responsibility really close to my heart. And so, you know, you're not kind of signing up to do a job, you're signing up to become all that God's created you to become. So, you know, there's a process involved in all of that. I love it. So it's a great privilege. It's a great honor. The God's greatest gift that he has given us is the gift of people to do what we're called to do. If someone's going to poison that or tarnish that in any way, then I don't want them to be a part of what we're doing. So I think that's it. That's all our questions for this week. I think we've had a great run over the last couple of months of fantastic questions. And over the next few weeks, I've got some great, fantastic interviews. I've been on the road in Cape Town and in Kiev and in London with the Colour Conference, and so much going on, and I've got the most fascinating people that I've had the opportunity to interview on the road, so you don't want to miss any of those interviews, and they're just great, great for Christian growth and encouragement, inspiration, and education, so don't miss any of that. And I'll talk to you all next week. Love you so much. Thanks again for downloading. I always value you. I'll chat to you next week. Bye.
Thank you for listening to this week's Coffee with Chris Kang. Make sure you don't miss next week's podcast, as you never know where in the world she might be next. In the meantime, check out our website, www.equipandempower.org, for photos, downloads, Chris's schedule, articles, and a link to her Twitter, where you can keep up with Chris's adventures around the world in real time. Thanks again for listening, and we look forward to seeing you next week for another Coffee with Chris.